We are currently meditating on the book of Numbers. Numbers is a book that the fourth book of the Bible, the fourth book of the Torah or the Pentateuch, it's called the five books of Moses that is being meditated upon. And the Bible series that we have started last year, really God is enabling us to be able to understand his whole counsel or his whole purpose, the purpose of God, by giving us the entire Bible. God could have just given one book and said, that's it. You just use that book and meditate upon it and done with it. No. Over a period of time, thousands of years of period of time, that God enabled his word to be able to be given to his people and written and be available for us to hold in our hands and meditate upon it. Are we giving enough reverence towards the word of God? Do we just take it lightly? Do you have a Bible with you? Can you hold a Bible and say, this is my Bible? I want to read the Bible. Can you say that confidently? Can you raise your Bible and say that? That is what it means to be able to know that this is a Bible. And I greatly encourage each one of you to use the same Bible all through. In my car, one Bible, the church, one Bible, at home, one Bible, at work, one Bible, you know, for convenience sake, you can do that. But if it is the same Bible in terms of the same model, etc., maybe that's okay. Because the more you read that Bible, the same Bible that you carry along, I know people who carry their study Bibles to churches. Did you know that? Because that is the Bible they read at home. And that is the Bible they want to hear when they sit in the church. It's not that I, for convenience sake, I put one Bible in my pocket and bring it over to the church because nobody should see the Bible in hand. The Word of God, my dear. Give importance to the Word of God. Give importance to God. And God will give you the necessary importance as well. If you are ashamed of the Word of God, I don't think we can be able to really honor Him and His Word to be able to understand what His Word is. And we would greatly encourage you to have the whole Bible with you. Not just the New Testament, not just the one of the books of the Bible, but the whole counsel of God will be known when you meditate upon the whole book of the Bible, not just a portion of the Bible. So that is why our focus and attention as part of this Bible series, though we are going a little slow, that we fully understand the counsel of God. Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27 says, I did not refrain from declaring the whole counsel of God. Whole counsel of God. From the beginning till the end. What was God's plan? What was God's plan of creation? What was God's plan of recreation? What is God's plan of coming back into this world? And all those matters for us if we understand the whole counsel of God. Book of Numbers is also one of the other books of the Bible, which is very rarely read book of the Bible. I don't know how many of us read the book of Numbers carefully enough. Maybe you have read it for the obligation of completing the Bible in 1 year or 2 years. I don't know. Quickly, to be able to tell people, how many times did anybody read the whole Bible once? Raise my hand. What is there in the book of Numbers? I'm not sure what is there. So such kind of things won't help us. As much as Leviticus is the least read book of the Bible, book of Numbers is also not very widely read book of the Bible. It's not if somebody asks you what is your favorite book, I don't know if anybody will say book of Numbers. But let me tell you, there's so much of truths that we can learn even from this wonderful book of Numbers. Little do we not give importance to it, but try to meditate upon it, my dear. Amazing truths that God reveals to us. Pearls. Deep treasures. As you dig deeper into the Word of God, you will get pearls and treasures. The more you dig deep, the more you will be able to understand. But today's portion from the book of Numbers, we are going to refer to a portion or a passage in the book of Psalms. Psalms refers to the stories that have happened in the Old Testament. Psalm 107, verses 4 through 9. Just a few verses. We'll read 6 verses. Shall we all read this together, please, as we read along? Let's try to ask God to speak to us through His living word and enable us to be those who concentrate on the word of God. So let's read this all together, please, aloud. They wandered in the wilderness in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. May the Lord bless the reading of this word and enable us to learn something new from the word of God, or already get reminded of something that we already know. The one that I highlighted in this particular verse, it is repeatedly used in other portions of the scriptures also. I just picked up Psalm 107. If you read Numbers chapter 33 and even Book of Acts chapter 7, it talks about the small phrase, wandering in the wilderness. Wandering in the wilderness. As we have been meditating upon the fact that Genesis tells about God choosing his people, Exodus talks about God redeeming his people, Leviticus talks about God sanctifying his people, and the book of Numbers talks about God leading or directing his people in the way they have to walk. This is the third sermon of the book of Numbers. The past two sermons of the book of Numbers was entitled Walking in the Wilderness. Walking in the Wilderness. They were walking in the wilderness. If you see, just as a very quick recap of the book of Numbers so far, the first 10 chapters happened in the land of Sinai. Just to let you know, most of the time we think about the story of Exodus is there only in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus talks about people coming out of the land of Egypt and entering into land of Sinai. That's it. Not beyond it. That is halfway, just to let you know. Egypt to Sinai is one way of that particular path that they had taken. Only one side. Egypt to Sinai. And then the Ten Commandments and the law that was given, even in the book of Leviticus, talks about everything that was happening in Sinai. First portion, chapter 12 onwards, I think it starts off their journey from Egypt to Sinai. Book of Numbers, also the first 10 chapters talks about the people at Sinai. So you can see how much time, how many verses, how many chapters were dedicated to the time when the people of Israel were at Sinai itself. Second half of Exodus, the whole book of Leviticus, and first 10 chapters of Numbers. And after the 10th chapter of Numbers, they move on. First 10 chapters talks about the census or the counting of the number of people over and about 20 years of age, the people who came out of the land of Egypt. They were around 600,000 men. And so when you extrapolate it, around 2 million people who came out of the land of Egypt. They counted those people. The first generation of the people who came out of the land of Egypt. And God told them how they have to set themselves around the tabernacle. When they travel, the tabernacle goes in one direction, and how people have to follow it, a train of people, how they have to go along. All that is mentioned in the first 10 chapters. And coming to chapter 10, the end of chapter 10, is when the journey begins again. The journey that they started from Egypt to Sinai continues from Numbers chapter 10. From Sinai, they move on. And that is what we picked up in chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14, the chapters of book of Numbers last week. And this particular portion from chapter 11 onwards till 25 talks about the disobedience or the rebellion of the people of Israel. Chapter 13 and chapter 14 talk about 12 spies that were sent into Canaan to see or survey the land and come back. Out of the 12, only two come back and say that the land is good land. And people went with the majority. They said 10 of the people are saying that this is not a good land. Huge giants are there. We don't want to go there. Though God has promised that good land, we are afraid to go there. We don't want to go there. And so God had to deal with them. And God said the 40 days it took for them to go and spy the land and come back, For every day, 1 year, 40 years you will be wandering in the wilderness. That is what God tells them in the book of Numbers chapter 14. And Numbers 15 talks about a law that was given. And now we'll pick it up at Numbers 16. Numbers chapter 16. Why is it called Numbers? Because it talks about the census that was taken, number of people who came out of the land of Egypt as well. And so we are going to pick up the story from the book of Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. We have entitled this particular sermon to be called as Wandering in the Wilderness. Wandering in the Wilderness. This particular phrase really catches my attention whenever I think about the word wandering. Sometimes my heart wanders. Sometimes we are sitting here, but our mind is wandering. Did you know that? None of you can see others' minds, but right now you may be thinking, what next? What should I do? How about the lunch here? Or how about the dinner tomorrow? What about this? Your mind may be wandering. You're physically here, but you're wandering. Did you know that? Sometimes our heart is wandering away from God. The people of Israel were wandering in the wilderness. They were wandering in the wilderness. And that particular wandering happened. All these incidents have happened at a place called Kadesh. Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea. It says some other English translations uses the word Kadesh Barnea. I don't know if you have heard this name before ever. Maybe you heard about it, but you never know the context behind it. From Mount Sinai, they go to a wilderness of Paran, where there is a city called Kadesh. And they're going to spend quite some time at Kadesh. As much as time that they have spent in Egypt for 400 years in slavery. And in Sinai, so many chapters were dedicated, though it is around 2 years of time frame that happened at Sinai. We are going to see almost close to 38 years that they have spent in and around Kadesh. 38 years. They could have just traveled to Canaan after Sinai. But because of certain things that happened, that they were not able to believe that God has promised the good land of Canaan to them, God punished them and made them wander around Kadesh for 38 years. So 2 years, all the way from Egypt to Sinai, and at Sinai, 2 years, and the remaining 38 years. Land of Kadesh. Kadosh. Kadesh has come from the word Kadosh. Kadosh means holy. Kadosh means holy. Holiness. God intended these people to wander in the wilderness in and around the holiness of God. Kadesh means holy. Period. What does holy mean? Holy means to be separated. They may be wandering in the wilderness, but they were wandering in and around that holy place. Kadesh means holy. But these people, having understood the wonders of God, how they brought them from the land of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and many, many wondrous things that God has provided them in terms of food and water and quail, the meat, in spite of it, during the wandering of the wilderness, they kept on rebelling. Rebellion. So please note it down, the first item here from chapter 16 to 20. Rebellion at Kadesh. Rebellion at Kadesh. Kadesh Barnea or Kadesh. Rebellion. They were wandering in the wilderness for 38 years, plus 2 years before that, a total of 40 years. Just want to give you a map of it because you may be wondering, brother, where is Kadesh, where is Sinai, where is Egypt, etc. Just for our, because this is all historical, this is not mythology, this is not mythical, it is historical, it is geographical. We can pinpoint the places where it happened because it really happened, my dear. I have just highlighted a few portions here. The land of Egypt, where they were taken into. They stayed there as bond servants. They were in bondage. In the land of Egypt, the cities called Ramesses and other places. And then the wilderness of Shur, wilderness of Sin, Mount Sinai, wilderness of Paran, wilderness of Zin. These are all wildernesses, wandering in the wilderness. When we say wilderness, there are different wildernesses. Or in other words, desert. What does desert mean? Desert mean there's no enough resources that you have. Desert, dry land. But God has promised a promised land flowing with milk and honey. But for them to be able to reach there, they have to go through their wilderness experience. We don't want that. The moment we come out of the land of Egypt, we want to fly and land into the Canaan. That's what we want. But God says you need to go through wilderness. Wilderness experience for you to learn certain things in your life. So they come all the way. They cross the Red Sea, Maras, Elim, Rephidim. We have gone through all of it. All this particular path to Mount Sinai is recorded in the book of Exodus. And from Mount Sinai, how they travel over to Kadesh Barnea is recorded in the book of Numbers. Numbers talks about it. Numbers continues about it all the way till the border that is there at the Jordan River. Numbers stops there. At the plains of Moab, which is at the border of Canaan, the book of Numbers stops there. And then the book of Joshua picks it up and then takes us into the land of the promised land. There's a book called Deuteronomy in between. We'll meditate upon it, God willing, later on as well. So these are the primary cities or areas or the land areas that you and I need to have a mental picture. When we say that this is what is going on, this is the mental picture. And primarily, we are going to look at the Kadesh Barnea, which is in between the wilderness of Paran and wilderness of Zin. Sometimes it is referred to wilderness of Zin, wilderness of Paran, because Kadesh is in between. When you read that, you will know it. They reach the wilderness of Paran Kadesh in Numbers chapter 13. From Kadesh Barnea, their 12 spies are sent into Canaan and they come back. 10 give a wrong report, 2 give the good report. And they remain in Kadesh Barnea because God punished them, saying, total of 40 years you are going to be there. They will wander in and around this Kadesh Barnea for the next 38 years. Imagine. Just around. They are wandered in it, not knowing inhabited city for 38 years. For 3 years itself, we cannot control. 3 months also, we cannot control ourselves. 38 years. God let them go through wandering in the wilderness. In the book of Numbers, chapter 16, we see one particular incident. Please note it down. The first 40 verses talks about rebellion of Korah. Rebellion of Korah. Yesterday, we had a fasting and prayer in Brother Tagore's house. And we were singing some songs. It was not planned. It was by choice. People have shared their choice of songs. And we sang a song. This is a song which reminds us that happily let us go to Zion. That's what the song says. And as you keep happily going to Zion by singing songs of Zion, it reminds us every verse talks about how people came out of the land of Egypt, entering into the wilderness, and then finally going into the land of Canaan. In that, one of the verses talks about Korah. And I mentioned yesterday that we are going to meditate upon Korah today. Korah. Who is this Korah? Many of us know Korah not as the father, but many of us know as the sons of Korah. Because sons of Korah have written a few psalms that are recorded in the book of Psalms. Sons of Korah. God used sons of Korah mightily. But Korah, as a father, he was a rebel. God judged him. And maybe because of that incident that happened with Korah, the sons of Korah were careful. They tried to be careful in their life. And God used them mightily to write psalms. And we still meditate on those psalms written by the sons of Korah. That happened during the time of King David when they wrote those psalms. But who is this Korah? Again, genealogy. This is all historical, I'm telling you. This is all historical. Genealogy-wise, we all know Jacob. Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. The story, we know that. Jacob had 12 sons. But when it comes to the tribes of Israel, God gave a double portion to Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. They became two separate tribes. God blessed Joseph by enabling him to have double portion of blessing, two tribes. So total of 13 tribes. But we still call them 12 tribes because God separated the tribe of Levi, fully separate. When he allocated the land, he gave only to the 12 tribes. God said, I am their inheritance. Levi, separated people. And under the lineage of Levi, I colored it as green, all the people under Levi. Levi had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. We discussed about it. They are the ones who carry the tabernacle elements, etc. Right? When they travel from one place to one other place. So I'm not going to get into Gershon and Merari, but I'm going to look at Kohath. Kohath had four sons, Amram, Hebron, Uziel, and Izhar. These are the four sons. Amram had three children, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. We all know these three family members, sister and two brothers. And this is the sequence pretty much. Miriam was oldest. Aaron is second in line, 3 years older to Moses. And Aaron was once again a special people came out of the from the family of Aaron. They are called priests. Out of the family of the Levites, God chose Aaron and his sons to be called priests. Who are priests? The ones who offer sacrifices in the tabernacle. They are called priests. What does the Levites do? Levites carry the things. When they go here and there, they help the priests. They are helpers. Without Levites, priests cannot do everything. Priests have a job, Levites have a job. God specifically assigned responsibilities and duties just as much. In the New Testament, God gave specific gifts of the Holy Spirit to each person. God assigned responsibilities. Not everyone will do everything. Doesn't make sense. Not everyone can be a nose. That's what Paul the Apostle says. Everyone has specific functions, just like every part of the body has specific functions in the body. Similarly, Levites had a specific function. Among the Levites, again, Gershonites need to do this, Kohathites have to do this, and Merarites have to do this. So see, Aaron's children, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Itamar. Nadab and Abihu, they brought strange fire and they died. So only two more sons were left over out of the sons of Aaron, Eleazar and Itamar. We'll study about Phinehas very soon. May not be this today, but Phinehas is the son of Eleazar. We'll meditate upon him. And now if you see, one of the other sons of Kohath, Izhar, has another son. His name is Korah. So Korah was a Levite. And sons of Korah, we will meditate upon them later on. So what we can see here in Numbers chapter 16 is this particular story. Korah, with few other people, around 253 people in total, they came, in verse 2, they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron. They thought, who is this Moses and Aaron? They are all contemporaries, no? Aaron, Moses, Korah. So Korah thought, why Aaron and Moses only? Why only them? We are also Levites. Why can't we take it up? So what did they say? Verse 3. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone far enough. You went too far. Huh? For all the congregation are holy. You think you are only holy? All the congregation, everyone is holy. See the way in which they are trying to tell. Every one of them. The Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? Why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? Who are you? You all are equal. Everyone is responsible and we are all equal. Who are you? Who are you, Moses? Who are you, Aaron? Why do you exalt yourself above others? They didn't realize that God kept Moses and Aaron to take responsibility, leadership responsibility over these people. If you read the book of Exodus, how many times Moses said, no, Lord, I don't want to. He gave so many excuses. God knows what made Moses to become their leader. God knows. But people like Korah, they think Moses is exalting himself. We are the leaders. You have to listen to us and things like that. So Moses heard this, he fell on his face because Moses knew what made him, how it was so difficult for him to lead these people, to bring them out of the land of Egypt. So Moses, knowing well that it is not he himself who exalted himself, but God brought him up to an extent of being able to be on behalf of God to lead these people. Of course, everyone is equal. We are not denying it. Everyone, believers who are purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, they are equal in the sight of God. But God gives specific functions to different people, and we need to be able to respect those functions and take up those functions to the extent of doing it for the Lord. Verse 5, tomorrow morning, Moses says, the Lord will show who is holy, and will bring near to himself even the one whom he will choose. He will bring near to himself. It's God's choice. It's not my choice. I am not standing as a leader in front of you because I wanted to become one. It's not because, who are you? I can also be a leader. No, I never thought about it. Moses was trying to clearly tell, God will reveal whom he has chosen. He was very clear of his calling and the choice of God. And then, verse 3, they said, you have gone far enough. Verse 7, Moses says, the man whom the Lord chooses shall be the one who is holy. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi. You have gone far enough, you sons of Levi. Moses tells to Korah, listen to this carefully, verse 8. Hear now, you sons of Levi. When I was reading through this, I realized how important it is for us to know what God has given us duties to do. Verse 9. Is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself? Is it not enough? Don't you realize that God has separated you, you sons of Levi, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister to him? Is it not a wonderful privilege for you as the sons of Levi? Verse 10, and he has brought you near, Korah, and all your brothers, sons of Levi, with you. Verse 10, and are you seeking for the priesthood also? Are you seeking for the priesthood also? Sons of Levi, God gave you the responsibility. Without you, the priest cannot do the job. Do you know that? And you are saying, you don't want to become priests? God chose Aaron and his sons to be the priests. God chose you to be the ministers in the tent of the Lord, in the tabernacle of the Lord, to help in the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. Are you seeking for the priesthood also? You can imagine how Moses, with a heavy heart, these are the duties that God has given. If everyone is a priest, who is going to do the other jobs? God has given separate responsibilities to each one. And when I was reading through this, I thought, maybe sometimes we covet other things. You know, maybe I'm not good in cooking. And if I say, who are you to cook, brother? I'm the one, I can cook. You can imagine how it will end up to become. No, God has assigned people to do certain things. Certain responsibilities are given. Respect those responsibilities. The priest should respect the sons of Korah or Korah himself for the way in which God is using them in the ministry. And Korah and other Levites should be able to thank God for the priests God has assigned in order to do their responsibilities as well. It's not like saying, why shouldn't I do? Many times we have that. And sometimes other people will trigger, hey Korah, you're also a Levite. Why can't you do a priestly job? And suddenly Korah will think, yeah, that's true. Overnight they'll be thinking, he'll be trying to come up with a conspiracy overnight. And the next day morning he says, I have peace that I have to become a priest. This is what's happening. God intended each one with specific duties and responsibilities. He has kept us in a place where we have to do our work faithfully. That is what I could learn from this particular story. But what did Korah do? He rebelled. Who are you? Verse 11, therefore you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. But as for Aaron, who is he that you grumble against him? What did you think? Aaron is any special person? God chose him. Why are you grumbling against Aaron? Why are you grumbling against Aaron? And then towards the end of this particular story, we see Moses tells God's response to all of this. Moses tells that these people, Korah and the remaining 252 people, the earth will open up and swallow them, and fire from the Lord will come and consume them. What a terrible judgment it is. The rebellion of Korah resulted in judgment of God. We have to be very careful. We have to first know what God has given us as responsibilities for us to do, and do it sincerely and faithfully. Moses and Aaron were not perfect people, but they were people who tried to obey God in spite of their weaknesses. In spite of their weaknesses. So let us be careful when we learn through this wandering in the wilderness, Korah's rebellion. God judged him terribly. Is that the end of it? No! At least after 40th verse, we think that things will be just fine. But we see here, the next bullet, please note it down, rebellion of Israelites, chapter 16, 41 to 50. Again rebellion. It's all rebellion at Kadesh. The holy place, Kadesh means holy, but rebellion was continuing to happen. And now people started murmuring, grumbling in verse 41. And God says, these people, you know, they're complaining to Moses and Aaron in verse 41. You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people. You are the one who have caused the death of these people. When they met together, God said, these people are going to be judged again. In verse 49, there was a plague, and then 14,700 people, besides those who died on account of Korah, they all died. That was a rebellion of the Israelites. Second rebellion we see. Third one, in chapter 17. This is a very familiar story for some of us. Please note it down. The third bullet. Rebellion to cease with Aaron's rod. Aaron's staff. I don't know if you have known this story. Many times we know this incident, but we cannot link it to the story. Yes, brother, I have heard about Aaron's staff. I have heard about the budding Aaron's rod. But in what context was it? I don't remember, or I don't know, you might say. Numbers chapter 17 is written in order to be able to deal with the rebellion of people. God wanted the people to stop rebelling. God doesn't like rebels. He cannot accept or tackle with people who rebel against God or God's people. So what did God do? He told Moses to bring 12 rods, 12 staffs, 12 sticks in other words. 12 sticks, one from each tribe. From the tribe of Levi, God said, get Aaron's staff. The staff that was used across all of it. It's also called the staff of the Lord, staff of Moses, staff of Aaron. It's called differently in different contexts here. And overnight, they are kept in the tent of the meeting. Overnight. And God says, only one of those rods will sprout. Let us see which ones it is. And interestingly so, the following day, only the Aaron's rod started budding, giving flowers and almonds as well. Amazing. It has nothing to do with putting in a soil or water, nothing. God is a God who's a wonder-working God who can do supernatural things that even humans cannot believe in. This is one of those incidents, Aaron's rod. And to this, God says, verse 10, Numbers chapter 17 and verse 10, but the Lord said to Moses, put back that rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebels. A sign against the rebels that you may put an end to their grumblings against me so that they will not die. So that they will not die. See the God of mercy here. God of mercy, in spite of the judgment of God towards Korah and others, the plague, etc., God still is a God of mercy. He says, put this Aaron's rod in the tent of the meeting. So till this time, in the Ark of the Covenant, there was manna and the two tablets. Now, with this particular incident, there's going to be one more element in the Ark of the Covenant, which is the Aaron's rod. The Aaron's rod will be put forth, and that is what we see. Even the book of Hebrews talks about it, that the Aaron's budding rod is kept as a reminder. Why? Why was it a reminder? It's a sign, verse 10. It's a sign against the rebels that you may put an end to their murmurings against me, grumblings, complainings against me. God doesn't like rebellion. How much ever the things that you are going through in your life, God wants us to be able to trust in Him, not to rebel against Him. Who is this God? Why is He allowing these things in my life? You might be questioning. But let me tell you, never ever even think about murmuring, grumbling, or complaining against God to the extent of rebelling against God. Aaron's rod is a reminder of it. Aaron's rod is a reminder of it. And then chapter 18 and 19 gives some details about some laws that are given to the Levites and the priests, and the red heifer that was used as a symbolism of the fact that it has to be sacrificed. Red heifer, the blood that has to be sacrificed, similar to the story of the book of Leviticus, that were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ, we can see in that is mentioned in chapter 18 and 19. Now we will get into chapter 20 from a storyline perspective. The rebellion that has happened in chapter 16, the solution to the rebellion, Aaron's rod, in chapter 17, 18 and 19 are the laws. Now we'll get into chapter 20. Chapter 20. Then the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, came to the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. Now Miriam died there and was buried there. They came to Kadesh. How much ever circles they were taking, they were coming back to Kadesh. Chapter 13, they were in Kadesh. Chapter 20, they are still in Kadesh. Chapter 13 to chapter 20, or end of chapter 19, is the 38-year period. Very silent period. Nothing much written other than the rebellion of Korah, etc. Just want to give you a calendar of events based on my study here. From the book of Exodus, I think I've been sharing this. I've been adding more and more as the events are happening. The first year, the first month, the 14th day is the first Passover in Egypt. First Passover in Egypt, according to Exodus chapter. I'll give you references to. This is not just pulling it from various places. There is scriptural references to it. And then first year, these all events have happened. Manna in the wilderness, arrival at Mount Sinai. Within 3 months, they arrived at Mount Sinai. And then they were at Mount Sinai, tabernacle was completed. In the second year, the first month, the tabernacle was completed. 14th day, they had the second Passover. And then end of Leviticus, start of Numbers in the second month. And then second year, 20th day, they leave Sinai. Numbers chapter 10, they leave Sinai. So how long did they stay at Sinai? From this point, first year, third month, to second year, second month. Close to 1 year, they stayed at Sinai. And they left from Sinai, and then not many details are given, but it says they had a 3-day journey from Sinai. Numbers chapter 10. 3-day journey from Sinai. They moved out for 3 days. And then they had a 1 month of quail. They were complaining about meat and all. God gave them up to 1 month of meat, birds, quail are birds. And then we see here the 40-day journey to spy Canaan. All that, approximately, I just put a question mark, not knowing exactly what could have been happened, but it could be third month, and the fifth month all in the second year. All that happened in Numbers 13, 40-day journey to spy Canaan from Kadesh. And they were wandering in the wilderness from chapter 14 to chapter 19. Chapter 14 to 19, 38 years they were wandering in the wilderness. Wherever they went, they came back to Kadesh. Wherever they went, they did not find an inhabited city. So they went around, round and round and round and round and once again came back to Kadesh. Where are we? Still in Kadesh. Oh, we have traveled so much. We went around here and there. Where are we? Still in Kadesh. That is what wandering in the wilderness is. They did not find a place. God didn't let them go out of the place. God had to teach them a lesson for 38 additional years. My dear, let us not deal with God, the Most High. Let us accept what God is allowing us in our lives to the extent of trusting in Him. That is what we've been meditating here in the worship time, trusting in Him as a friend. Moses trusted in God as a friend. Though he was a weak person, he trusted in God. So though it in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1, it doesn't say 40th year, but based on understanding of the scriptures, this is what I could sense, and also other biblical scholars also say that it was the 40th year first month, though it doesn't clearly say 40th year. And then we see here in chapter 20 verse 23, chapter 20 verse 1, death of Miriam, and chapter 20 verse 23, it says the fifth month, death of Aaron. Chapter 33 verse 38 clearly says 40th year, fifth month, first day, Aaron died. Numbers chapter 33 verse 38 very clearly says 40th year, fifth month, first day. By the way, the first month of the Jewish calendar is April. It need not necessarily be January, but April is their first month and it goes on till March. That is their 12-month period. That's why I didn't put the name of the month. I just put the number of the month. 40th year. So we see here in Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 is the saddest chapter of the book of Numbers. Saddest chapter. I'm sorry to say this. I could just rejuvenate each one of us, but the word of God is teaching some lessons to us, so sometimes we may need to be a little serious about this. Numbers chapter 20 is a saddest chapter. Why? It starts off with the death of Miriam, the prophetess, the one who wonderfully sang songs of praise and worship with tambourine in her hand, singing to the Lord, and he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider went into the sea, Exodus chapter 15. Wonderfully, when they come out of the land of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, they sing some songs. She was called a prophetess. Though she had some weaknesses to the extent of grumbling against Moses along with her brother, she went through leprosy. And then finally we see the death of Miriam, one of the sad incidents. Is that the end of it? No. Numbers chapter 20. Please note it down quickly. We will move on. Rebellion of wow. This is not a typo here. Rebellion of Moses and Aaron. God will not spare leaders too. Very important. As much as God did not spare Korah or the sons of Israel, God will not spare leaders as well. Everyone is accountable in the sight of God. That is why I call this the saddest chapter of the book of Numbers. Leaders, Moses and Aaron, the ones who brought these people in the 40th year. These are the incidents that are happening. What happened? What happened, brother? You might say. Chapter 20, verse 2. You might say, what? There was no water for the congregation. This is not new. How many times people grumbled against Moses and Aaron? This is not new. First time, it happened in the book of Exodus. Bitter waters turned to sweet waters. Mara. And then people quarreled. Massa, Meriba. These are all waters where people did not have waters. And they started contending. They said, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Many times, people cannot handle adversity. Just no water? I wish I died with those people. You know how emotional we become. fickle-mindedness when we say about death. Who are we to say, I should die, I will die? God in His time will take us into His fold. Who are you to say, Lord, take me? You know, many of the men of God have been saying such kind of things, even the people of Israel. What did God say in verse 7? The Lord said to Moses, take the rod, the same rod that you've been using. Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes that it may yield its water. The difference was, God said, speak to the rock. In the previous incident, God said, strike the rock. Water came out. This time God said, speak to the rock. That's all God said. Moses took the rod. Past incident, I know what has happened. So what will I do? I am the leader. I'll do. I came to you, Lord. I prayed. Now I'll take things in my hand. So what did he do? He took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock and said to them. Moses and Aaron both were there, though Moses was speaking. Listen now, you rebels. They thought, we are God's people. We are leaders. You are the rebels. Yes, they did rebel. We are not denying it. Listen now, you rebels. Later God says, Moses and Aaron, you are the rebels. You rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? Shall we bring forth? You see, suddenly their mindset went to the extent of saying, shall we bring forth rock from the water? Many people, when they start the ministry, it's a wonderful ministry to start with. As the years go by, something happens. Pride or something comes up. They'll say, I can do. I can do everything. Anyone who is in the ministry need to be careful. Till the end, we should be faithful to God. The beginning may be good. What is your current state of affair? It is a question to each one of us, including myself and every one of us who are taking up various responsibilities. Are we to bring water? Listen to us. Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice, not even once. He was so much angry, so much of rebellious to the extent of he hit the rock. Though we see God let the water come out. But God said to Moses in verse 12, God said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I shall give them. God immediately gave a judgment. You did not believe in me. Lord, we came and prayed to you. I told you to speak to the rock. Yes, Lord, but last time we struck the rock and I hit it twice this time. You did not believe in me. Oh, I tell you. Such a pathetic situation. The ones whom God used to lead them out of the land of Egypt could not enter into the promised land. Rebellion. God tells them, I'll refer to you this verse towards to you later. God clearly says, you have rebelled against me. You both have rebelled against me. Let me tell you, God's judgment is same. Whether you are a Levite, whether you are a priest, or whether you are Moses. If we rebel against God, God will deal with us. God said, you will not enter. You will not enter. Verse 12. That is why it is the saddest chapter. After 40 years of leading these people, he could not enter into the land, the promised land. So, verse 23. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor. Now they travel from Kadesh to Mount Hor. And then God says, verse 24, shall we all read this together, please? Verse 24. Aaron will be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the sons of Israel, because you rebelled against my command at the waters of Meribah. There are two Meribahs, one in the book of Exodus, one in the book of Numbers. because you rebelled against my command. Oh, my dear, it is a very heartbreaking chapter, I can say personally. It's all rebellion, 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 rebellion. I think we'll stop here in the interest of time. I was hoping to go through the victories, but we'll stop here at rebellion. God is reminding us not to rebel against Him. Whatever responsibilities we are taking, whatever leadership responsibilities we are taking, whatever serving responsibilities we are doing, whether we are Levites or Korah or Moses or Aaron or the priests, God wants us to do His work His way. He wants us to obey His commandments carefully enough. He will not spare those who disobey His commandment. He will not spare, period. So let us be very, very cautious and careful in obeying the commandment of the Lord. When God tells something, do it. But God, water came out, right? Yes, God met the need. But Moses and Aaron, they could not enter into the promised land. God met the need. God might meet the need through your work, but you may not enter into the promised land. You may not experience the blessings of God. God might use you. God could use a donkey. God could use anyone to cause blessing to people. But are you obeying the commandment of God? May the Lord bless this word and enable us to obey His commandments. This verse 24, because you rebelled against my command. Rebelled against my command. Listen to me, put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. The commandment is, listen to me, put your trust in me. But Lord, you said I'll be established this year 2020. Yes. But did you obey my commandment? Did you listen to me? Week after week, day after day, I've been speaking to you. I'm giving you commandments. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? That is what God is reminding each one of us in this year 2020. The promises of God are conditional, especially in this context that we are reading through. May the Lord bless this word and enable us not to be like the rebellion at Kadesh. Let us not be rebels. Let us be those who obey God's word.